the word tonight? Amen. Turn your, if you have your Bibles, turn to Mark chapter 4. And we began last week about talking about how you could go the distance. Amen. You know, in God's kingdom, it's not so much about how you start, but it's how you finish that matters. Amen. Some of us probably had a rocky start in life. Maybe you didn't know the Lord until later. And but you know what? Once you know the Lord, God wants you to finish strong. And he wants you to finish with joy. So we're going to talk about, we're going to continue on how you can go the distance and finish your race with joy. Amen? Listen, you don't want to just finish. You want to finish with joy. God wants you to have joy. And in Mark chapter 4, he talks about four types of grounds. And in verse 15, he mentions the wayside where the word is sown. But when they heard, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. And these are like, are they likewise, verse 16, which are sown on stony ground, who when they have heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness, and have no root in themselves, and so endure but for a time. Afterward, when affliction or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. And that word offended means they fall away. Verse 18, these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and lusts of other things entering in, choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. Isn't that terrible how something can choke the word, and it'll be unfruitful? And these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word, receive it, and bring forth fruit, some 30, some 60, and some 100-fold. Well, God has created every seed to multiply. It doesn't matter what seed, every seed is designed to multiply, to make more. And God has given us the greatest seed in our life, which is His Word of God. He wants us to multiply. He wants us to take His Word and apply our lives to it and then have that multiply in our lives. And really, God wants you to finish. He wants you to complete. He wants you to reach your destiny. And He wants you to achieve a goal. And we talked about there are four types of ground. The wayside, the thorny ground, the stony ground, and the good ground. And there are seven things that will hinder you from going the distance. Number one is Satan stealing from you. Satan is a thief. Number two, not having a root in yourself. All right? If a tree doesn't have roots, it's not going to be nourished. It'll be a weak tree. It'll be easily blown over. Number three, is a third thing that hinders us from going the distance is tribulation or trouble. Anybody experience trouble? You know, trouble can knock you off your course. All right? Number four is persecution for the word's sake. People, the world starts to put labels on you. They call you names. And they make fun of you. They mock you. But you know what? You're going to have the last laugh. And then the fifth thing that comes in that hinders you from going the distance is the cares of this world. When they come in, they choke the word. And then the sixth thing is the deceitfulness of riches. Now, God doesn't mind you having riches. There were several people in the Bible that were rich. As long as the riches don't have you. Amen? And then the seventh thing is desires for other things. In other words, God becomes second, third, or fourth, not first. Because there's other things that you place more importance on than God. All right? And let's go to Matthew chapter 22. Matthew chapter 22. I just want to give you an example of each type of these grounds, okay? Because there's somewhere that we want to end up tonight. So Matthew chapter 22, and Jesus was speaking some parables, and let's look at verse 2. The kingdom of heaven is like a certain king which made a marriage for his son and sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding, and they would not come. I want you to notice they were invited, right? But they didn't come. Those are like people that are the wayside. The word never got into their heart. They had the invitation, but they never responded. They had the invitation, but they never did anything with it. Okay? These are wayside people. And verse 4 says, again, he sent forth other servants, saying, tell them which are bidden, behold, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and my fatlings are all killed, and all things are ready. Come unto the marriage. But they made light of it and went their way, one to his farm, another to his merchandise. Now they had the invitation, but they didn't do anything with the invitation. In other words, they got the invitation in the mail and it just sat on the desk. They never opened it. They never found out what was on the inside. And that's like a lot of people. A lot of people hear the word, but they never do anything with it. All right? These would be a wayside people. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Hallelujah. Then we're gonna begin to identify these seven things. I want you to know what they are so that you can prevent them from operating in your life. Amen? How many want to stop Satan stealing? Glory to God. I'll tell you what, you can arrest Satan. And you know what? You can tell him you have the right to remain silent. Amen? You have authority from heaven to do that. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Now notice, this he's talking about, you know, some of this he's talking about, if you read it, you could read it in the newspaper. Verse 3, he's talking about in the last days, and he says, for verse 3, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust they shall heap unto themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth. Can you imagine people turning their ears away from the truth? But it happens. It happened in Jesus' day. All right? These are wayside people. And when Paul was in Athens in Acts 17, you don't have to turn there, but when Paul preached, there were some who didn't believe. They heard the message. They heard the gospel, but they chose not to believe. They did not allow the seed to enter into their heart. They will be hindered in going the distance. In other words, listen, if you don't have Jesus, you will not go the distance. I don't care how you end up without Jesus. If you don't have Jesus, you've lost everything. Amen? And if you don't have Jesus at the end of your life, you end up with nothing. Okay? How about Acts 26, King Agrippa? Paul was sharing his testimony, and he turned to Paul and he said, you almost persuade me. He was almost persuaded to become a Christian. He heard the testimony. He heard the gospel. But he chose not to receive it or accept it. The gospel's a gift. It's the greatest gift of all. All right? Let's look at some stony ground. Go with me to Ezekiel. Let's go to Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10. Ezekiel 33, I just want to mention this. It says they hear the word, but they don't practice it. Mark chapter 10 and verse 17. Here's an example of someone that is a stony ground. And when he was gone forth into the way, there came one running and kneeled to him and asked him, good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? And he said unto him, Why do you call me good? There is none good but one, that is God. You know the commandments. Do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, defraud not, honor your mother and father, honor your father and mother. And he answered and said unto him, Master, all these I have observed from my youth. Really? Do you really think that that's true? But Jesus knows how to get to the heart of the issue. Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him. He loved him. And said unto him, One thing you lack. Go your way, sell whatsoever you have, give to the poor, and you shall have treasure in heaven. And come, take up the cross, and follow me. And he was sad at that saying, and went away. For why? Why was he sad? Because he had great possessions. He was caught up into the cares of this world. The deceitfulness of riches. These are my possessions. I can't get rid of them. Let me tell you something. When Jesus asks you to give something and you give it because he tells you to, he will bless you. He will give you more than what you had. But see, this ruler, he was an example of stony ground. He refused Jesus' offer. Jesus offered to make him a disciple. He could have been one of the 12 or one of the 70. The offer was given. But because of his attachment to the world, he even called Jesus good. He called him master. But there was a hardness in his heart that was preventing the word from getting into where it should be. He will not go the distance. He went away grieved. He was more concerned about losing his stuff than having a relationship with Jesus. You know, Ephesians 4 says that we're not supposed to be children tossed with every wind of doctrine. We have to, you know, there's a lot of things in this world that we could get into. But, you know, we got to, if you've started with the Lord, you've got to continue. Amen? How many are in it for the long haul? Say, I want to go the distance. Say, I'm going to finish my race with joy. I'm going to complete my assignment, and I'm going to please the Lord. Because you're a champion. Say, I'm a champion. I'm a winner. Say, I come from a champion bloodline. Now, your age doesn't determine your ending. Jesus was 33 and a half years old and he finished his course. So, your age doesn't matter. It's your faith and what you're willing to do for God and how you're willing to live for him and how you're willing to follow him. Okay? So that's just an example of stony ground. I'll go to John chapter 6. We got to look at this. John chapter 6. And let's go to verse 60. John 6, 60. He was talking about eating his flesh and drinking his blood. Ew. Notice what they said in verse 60. Many, therefore, of his disciples, when they had heard this, they said, This is a hard saying. Who can hear it? When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, Does this offend you? What and if you shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? It is the spirit that quickens. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Say, the word is spirit and life. And every time we hear the word, that's how we got to hear it. We got to hear it as spirit and life. This is what it produces, okay? But there are some of you that believe not, verse 64. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not and who would betray him. He said, therefore, I said unto you that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. They could not go deeper because it was a hard saying. They couldn't handle it. Many of his disciples left him, walked with him no more. God is looking for some people with some resiliency, some perseverance, some endurance, some steadfastness. Ones that are going to hang in there no matter what. Determine in your heart that you're going to hang in there no matter what. No matter what happens in your life, you're going to stick with Jesus. You're going to follow him. You're going to profess his name. You're going to praise him no matter what. Amen? So many disciples left that Jesus turned to Peter, his close ones, and he said, are you going to go too? And Peter said, where are we going to go? You have the words of eternal life. He embraced that saying. Okay? Some examples of thorny ground that were sown among. Did you know that thorns came as a result of the curse? Genesis 3:15. Thorns came to this earth as a result of the curse. So thorns represent us yielding to the curse and not to the blessing. Proverbs 24, 30 through 34, laziness produces thorns. When I read that, I said, what? See, these thorns, they come in. How does the thorns get in? The cares of the world, lust of other things, deceitfulness of riches. How do they get in? Can they come in uninvited? We allow them to come in. How do we allow them to come in? By choices. Did you know that God has set before us life? And he set before us death. But then he says, you choose. We have the ability. God, in his wisdom, gave us the ability to choose. That proves that he's not a dictator. No dictator would give you the choice between life or death. A dictator says, you're going to do this or else. But God says, I've set before you life and death. So when cares of this world or lusts of other things or deceitfulness of riches, they're operating in your life. You chose to make that. You chose the cares of this world or the worries or the concerns over God's word. Now, listen, God's a good God. He knows that you have to live. He walked this earth for 33 and a half years. Guess what? He had to wash his robes. He got tired. People mocked him. They criticized him. They ridiculed him. They forsook him. He knows you got to eat. He knows you got to wear clothes. He knows it takes money to live. And God wants to help you get all that you need. But the only thing he asks is this, that you put him first. When he is first in your life, and everything else is second, then God can do amazing things in your life. And you will go to the distance. You will be amazed at what God can do. You know, God told Jesus told Martha, if you read the story in Luke 10, he told her that she was troubled about many things. But in that moment, there was one thing that was necessary, and that was to spend time with the Savior. But she chose to be worried about many things, to be troubled about many things, as opposed to being with the Savior. Do you realize she could have done what Mary did? But she didn't. Why didn't she? Because she chose not to. And Jesus told Mary, he said that she made the better choice. Now, that's not always the case, but in that particular moment, in that instance, that was the case. And I'll tell you what, you know when it's time to spend time with the Lord. You'll feel a tug in your heart. You'll feel something stirring in your soul. And you'll know, hey, look, I got to spend time with the Lord. I got to spend time. That means when that comes on you, you got to put things aside. Because the Lord may want to warn you. He may want to use you to intercede or to pray for an instance. But, you know, we may not always know why, but we've got to take that time. People who make that choice will go the distance. Here's what I want to get to tonight. Give me a few minutes and I'm going to talk to you about how Satan steals, but then I want to talk about how we can finish good. All right? I want to tell you how Satan steals, not to magnify Satan, but to expose him. I want to shed some light on who he is and what he does so that you can prevent him from doing it to you. Don't turn there, but in Job chapter 1, it was Satan who accused Job. If someone is bringing accusations against you, against your character, against your family, against your call, you can bet that it's Satan behind it. He was accusing Job. God said, Satan, have you seen my servant Job? And Satan said, oh, if you take his stuff away, he'll curse you. But you know what? Job didn't trust in his stuff. He trusted in God. Because Job lost everything, but Job never cursed God. He had pressure. His wife, his three friends, if you even want to call them that. When you got friends like Job had, you don't need any more friends. You don't need any enemies, I should say. But Satan accused Job. But what did God do? Satan took his stuff. God gave it back to him more than what he lost. Now, there were some adjustments that Job had to make. Okay? In Zechariah chapter 3, he also accused Joshua, the high priest. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 2. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. And verse 11. Notice, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not what? Ignorant of what? He has devices. Satan is a schemer. He has schemes. Now, Satan is not a creator. Satan runs the same scheme always. He just makes it look bigger than what it was the first time. He can't create. He can only pervert. Satan is a schemer, but thank God we're not ignorant of his devices. He's the father of lies. That means everything he says is a lie. He's our adversary. That means he's our enemy. There's no hope for Satan to be saved. We have authority over him in Jesus Christ. So God doesn't want you to be ignorant of his devices. Chapter 4 of the same book, chapter 4, and verse 3 and 4. But if our gospel be hid, It is hid to them that are lost. Do you realize that you're going to encounter some people, they're hid from the gospel? Because verse 4, in whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. So who blinds men's minds that don't believe? Satan, he's a blinder. But our advantage is we can pray that their eyes be opened. So if you encounter someone who's blind to the gospel, you got to pray that they can see the light. And your prayer will counteract Satan's work. Go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians. I just love saying that word, Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 9. Notice this. He's talking about the wicked one, and he said, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and what? Lying wonders. You ever hear of a statue crying or bleeding? That's a lying wonder. Why? It takes focus off God and it puts it on a statue. It makes people put attention on the statue and not God. They come to see what the statue does, not to hear what God is saying. Listen, you got to test every spirit. You can't just take a miracle for a miracle. Because Satan can do some lying wonders. When Moses put his staff down, it turned into a serpent. But so did the Egyptian magicians. When he turned water into blood, so did they. But they were limited as to what they can do. God's miracles will always swallow up Satan's miracle. Because the truth will always swallow up a lie. A lie cannot stand against the truth. All right? 1 Peter 5:8. 1 Peter 5:8. Satan walks around, he says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, didn't say he is, he as a roaring lion. He's a pretender. He's no lion. He tries to sound like a lion. He walks about seeking whom he may devour. Notice, he's got to get your permission to devour. He can't just come in and devour. But what can we do? We can resist him steadfast in the faith. We can resist Satan. We can say no. We can resist him with the word. He who is in us is greater than he who is in the world. Okay? And finally, 2 Corinthians 11:3. 2 Corinthians 11:3. But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. Listen, if you make the gospel, if you start making it too complex, Satan is behind it. Say the gospel is simple. When things stop getting simple, God's not working in it. Because God makes the simple, he makes the complex simple so we can understand it. Isn't it amazing how God used Alexander the Great? What do you mean how God used him? Do you realize that he conquered the known world and he made everybody learn Greek? What was the New Testament written in? Greek. Everybody who knew Greek could hear the New Testament. You didn't have to be a scholar because it was a language that common people spoke because of Alexander the Great. It was at that time that the Holy Spirit inspired writers to write the New Testament. Because it was written in Koine Greek. Everybody in the world had to know Greek. And so everybody in the world could hear the gospel. Is that not awesome? Okay. Now, we're going to cover some more things as we go on, but I want to get to this tonight. I want you to finish well. I want you to finish your course with joy. All right, go to Acts chapter 20. This was really impressed upon my heart tonight, so I want to spend the last few minutes that we have with this. Acts chapter 20. And let's go to verse 23. Save that the Holy Ghost witnesses in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. But none of these things move me. Paul knew he was going to prison. Paul knew he was going to be chained, but it didn't move him. Say, circumstances in life don't move me. Neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with what? Joy. And the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus. See, I have a ministry from the Lord Jesus. And God expects you to carry out your ministry that He gave you. He expects you to complete the vision that He's put in your heart. Do it with all your might. So when you have an opportunity to exercise your gift with all that you have within you. Whatever your gift is, whatever your ministry is, God thought of you highly enough to give it to you. Say, I'm special. And Paul's ministry was to testify the gospel of the grace of God. And now behold, I know that you all among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God shall see my face no more. Does Paul sound like he's sad? I mean, they did cry because they weren't going to see him anymore, but Paul is telling his testimony with joy. In other words, there's an excitement in Paul's presentation of what is about to happen in his life because he knows he's about to finish. But he's about to finish with joy. He's not saying, woe is me. I'm going to be going to Rome, and it's going to be it. Tony, it's not going to be anymore. It's going to be it, man. And Tony's like, oh, man. That's not what Paul is saying. Paul is talking about his end with an expectation, with joy. You need to get excited about your... Do you know that your end is a promotion? Your end means that you're going to hear Jesus say, well done, good and faithful servant. Come on, enter into joy today. Your end is joy. Get excited about your end. See that goal. Focus on that goal. Now, what does it mean to finish well? I'm glad you asked that question. Not everybody in the Bible finished well. About 30% of people that we have a lot of information about finished well. To finish well means you have and maintain a relationship with the Lord. You must have a personal, vibrant, active relationship with the Lord till the end. A Christian is not a quitter. Can you say it? That was a good time to say amen. Amen. Number two, to finish well means you develop a learning posture. You determine to be a student for life, and you continue to learn, grow, and develop. You are teachable with an attitude of humility. You're open to learn from God and others, and you never hunger for the revelation of truth. You never get tired of getting truth, getting a revelation. You never say, oh, I know that. Really now? Kind of like that rich ruler. Keep all the commandments. Oh, I've done since my youth. Really? Then how come you're not following Jesus? Which is the greatest command, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your strength. Now, this list came from a name by the name of Bobby Clinton, who wrote the book called Starting Well. Number three, you keep and cultivate Christ-like character. You continuously cultivate the fruit of the Spirit, you stay close to Christ, and you follow His pattern for living. That's going to cause you to finish well. That's going to cause you to finish your course with joy. Number four, you maintain your convictions and your beliefs. Paul had a man by the name of Demas. And the Bible said that Demas left Paul because he loved this present world more than God. He was following Paul. He was participating in the message. But I guess he got tired of the message and he went to other things. And when he let those other things come into his life, it choked the word and it made the word unfruitful, and he left. Doesn't he write in Revelation, come back to your first love? Weren't there churches, church people who left their first love? If you leave your first love, you'll never go the distance. But the good thing about love is you can always get back to your first love. See, love can be rekindled. Love never fails. Prodigal son left, but he came back. Peter denied Christ, but then he preached on the day of Pentecost because he came back. He rekindled the love that he had for the Savior. So if you fall, if you miss the mark, don't stay down. Get up. If you fall again, get up. If you fall another time, get up. Keep getting up. Doesn't matter how many mistakes you made or how many times you've fallen, keep getting up. Why? Because you want to go the distance. You want to finish your race with joy. You let the Bible and the Holy Spirit guide you into all truth, and you do not compromise. Number five, you accomplish God's purpose for your life. To accomplish His purpose, you must discover what that is. Where that is, and how it is to be brought about. God will teach you His will for your life. He will help you build a legacy for your life. Be consistent in being and doing. Be in His presence. Do His will. And then finally, the last one that'll help you finish well: know where you are going, so you know when you get there. It's hard to know when you get there if you don't know where you're going. Find out what your destiny is so that you have a sense of fulfilling it. Those things, that's what it means to finish well. Who are some people that finished well? Abraham. Job. Joshua, Caleb, Samuel, Elijah. You know, if you're getting a chariot ride into heaven, you finish pretty good. Daniel, John. They tried to kill John and couldn't kill him, so they banished him to Patmos, where he had the revelation. Paul didn't start off good, but he finished well. Now, here are some people on how they finished. Some were cut off early. They were taken by assassination, battle, or they were prophetically denounced, like Abimelech, Samson, Absalom, John the Baptist, he was beheaded. But Jesus said he was the greatest prophet because he got to prophesy and he got to see it come to pass. Now here are some people that finished poorly. These were going down in the latter part of their life and ministry. This might be reflected in their personal relationship with God in terms of their competency. Saul, King Saul. Solomon. He was the wisest man, and then he's writing about vanity of vanities. 700 wives and 300 concubines. That's how he ended up. The Lord said, don't get involved with horses or women. That's exactly what he got involved in. All the women took his heart away from God. He started worshiping idols. You got to be careful who you associate with. Now, here were some people that finished so-so. They did fairly well, but were limited in their ministries because of sin. They did not complete what God had for them or had some negative ramifications surrounding their lives and ministries, even though they were personally walking with God. David was one of them. He was a man after God's own heart, but how many know his sin cost him? It hurt his family. But yet, you know, Hezekiah. And here's some people that finished well. They walked with God at the end of their life. They contributed to God's purpose at a high level. They fulfilled what God wanted them to do. Enoch, Noah, Abraham. What did God want Abraham to do to become a father? I think he did that, didn't he? Paul, Daniel. Here are some barriers to finishing well. Abuse of money. Abuse of power. Pride. Sexual misconduct, strained family relationships, and plateauing means when you stop growing. You just reach a level and you're just like, okay, I don't want to grow anymore. Why? If you got breath in you, you can grow. Amen? And go to 2 Timothy chapter 4. And I'm going to finish here. 2 Timothy 4, and then we're going to go to Galatians 6. 2 Timothy 4, verse 6. Well, verse 5. But watch in all things, endure afflictions. What did he say about afflictions? He didn't say complain about them, did he? Endure them. How do you endure afflictions? When afflictions come, praise God. Hallelujah. Lord, I'm looking to you. That's how you endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist. Make full proof of your ministry. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. What's a good fight? One you win. Right? A good fight means you end up winning. He fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Wow. He must have knew what his course was in order to say he finished it. If I'm driving from Pennsylvania to Illinois, I know what course I'm taking because I know when I get to Illinois. And if you want to get there, you got to stay on course. Every one of us has a path that God has chosen for you. God chose a path for you. And he wants you to walk on that path. Now, that path is a narrow path because he said, wide is the path that leads to destruction, but narrow is the path that leads to life. Amen? So stay on your narrow path. There's things out to the right. There's things to the left. Guess what? There's things in your past. You got to forget what's behind you. Say, I'm forgetting what's behind me. and I'm pressing toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Put the pedal to the metal and go forward, not backward. How fast do you want to get to your destination is up to you. Spiritual growth does not occur the same as natural aging. Just because you've been something in 10 years, that doesn't really tell us how much spiritual progress you've made. Spiritual progress is made by hearing what God said and doing it. Hearing it and doing it. Hearing it, doing it. Go back to the good seed. Heard it, accepted it, and bore fruit. Some 30, some 60, some 100-fold. You can look back and you could say, well, I've made 30% progress in where I was. Or you can even say, I made 100% progress. But God wants you to finish well. He wants you to go to this. One last scripture, Galatians 6, then I'm done. Galatians 6, verse 9 and 10. Let us not be weary in what? Well doing. Doing well. Doing good. Oh, do I have to go to church again? Better be careful. Don't get weary in doing well. Going to church is doing well. It's doing good. Serving people is doing good. Doing your devotions is doing good. Be not weary in well-doing. That's a command. For in due season you shall reap if you what? Faint not. Weariness leads to fainting. Giving up. Okay? That word faint means to tire. What does the Bible say? Let the weak say I'm what? How come when we're weak, we're always saying how weak we are instead of how strong we are? The Bible says, let the weak say, I'm strong, not weak. Why? Because God gives you strength. And then verse 10, I'm done. As we have therefore opportunity, notice we only can do take opportunities as they're presented to us. Let us do good unto all men, especially the household of faith. Because you always put God first. So you want to do good to all men, but especially to the household of faith. That means your brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus. But you have to make a choice that you're not going to be weary in well-doing. That you're going to accept opportunities just as that they're an opportunity from God. My accounting teacher never said we're having tests. He said we're having opportunities. But I want you to unlock the potential that God has put in each one of you. There is potential. There is greatness. There is a destiny that God has assigned to each one of you. And you have been equipped with everything to overcome every obstacle that comes in your way. The enemy's been defeated. God will give you strength. His Holy Spirit will help you and teach you. When you don't know, you can ask for wisdom. There's no excuse for you not going the distance, for you not finishing your course with joy. So we ought to get excited about the destiny that God has for us. You're not too young and you're not too old. You're just right. You're living in the right time. God chose you to live in this time that you are living in right now. And he's got gifts, talents, and abilities in you that he wants to use for the world and for the body. So let's get busy. Let's get about the Father's business. Let's put these petty little things that we deal with aside and let's go with gusto for the goal that God has for us. And as you grow in Christ, he'll always increase the goal, because the more you're given, the more you're responsible for. The more you know, the more God will ask of you. He asked Peter. After Peter came back to him, one simple question. Peter, do you love me? Yes, I do. Then feed my sheep. Feed my sheep. From that moment on, Peter spent the rest of his life feeding sheep. That's all he needed. And Peter finished his course. He was crucified. But he chose to be crucified upside down. Because he said, I don't want to die like my Savior. But you know what? You read Peter, 1 and 2 Peter, it talks about suffering. You can do it because you're a winner. You can go the distance. Hallelujah. Let's praise the Lord. And if you're here tonight and you need prayer for anything, we're always happy to lay hands on you and pray. If you need healing, if you need a touch from God, amen. But God's got good plans for you. He's got good plans to prosper you and not to harm you, but to give you an expected end. You have a divine destiny. There are people that you were designed to reach and to touch and to minister to. Hallelujah. Get excited about the vision that God's given you. And let's do it. How come you're not praising the Lord? Hallelujah. Let's get praising the Lord. Let's get excited. I can't do your praising for you. Hallelujah. Oh, stir yourself up. Stir yourself up. Hallelujah. There's gifts inside. Sometimes they need to be stirred up like chocolate and milk. You got to stir it up in order for the milk to change. Hallelujah. Change comes when you stir yourself up in God. And if there's anybody that needs prayer, come quickly. Come and receive of the Lord right now. A touch. Whatever it is you need, God's got it. Whatever problem you're facing, He can solve it. Hallelujah. We bless you, Lord. We praise you. We magnify you. We glorify you, Lord Jesus. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. You've called us to greatness. And we are doers of the word, not hearer only. Hallelujah. We do what you tell us to do, Lord. We correct that which needs to be corrected. We build up that which is weak. We build it up in your word where it's strong in you and in the power of your might. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. I see everybody crossing the finish line with your arms lifted up in victory. Because you're an overcomer. You're more than a conqueror. Hallelujah. There's no foe that can stand against you. If God be for you, who can be against you? Hallelujah. Go and run the race and win. Hallelujah. And stay hooked up. Stay connected. Stay connected to the vine. In Jesus' name. Amen, amen.